Greetings, greetings, touching base with all. Thank you, loyal listeners, friends, and foe. Welcome to another episode here of Mafia Wife Life. It is me, your girl, Mafia Wife. I hope everybody is enjoying their summers. And while all seasons have their charms, I am so happy when it is summer. And there's so many reasons for that. I really like the opportunity to have more light, you know, just more light, please. The light is longer. It starts earlier. It lasts later. And it's just so fabulous to be outside in all that light. You know, it just, it's so nourishing to the spirit. And I love being by the water when it's warm. I love being in warm water. And so thank you, summer. I love cooking outside in the summer. I love the food that is readily available to cook with in the summer. It's all gorgeous. And I also like the ease of just throwing something on, like one piece, just an easy sort of like smock type dress. And that's it. You're out the door. There's not a lot of layers. There's just not a lot of function. It's just super easy. And I love it. So happy summer to all. Now, what is going on? Well, our oldest daughter and her fam are living in Mexico City for the summer. They left. When did they leave? Gosh, I think they left in early March. Golly day, here we are in June. I think they left in early March. And they are digging it. They are sort of digital nomads because they have the opportunity to work anywhere. They are founders and partners in a couple of businesses with the Godfather. And I'm so grateful. And I know he's so grateful because indeed they had the capacity and the training to work anywhere, but they, you know, recognized an opportunity and a need and a niche that really needed to be filled. And as I said at the time, I said, you know, they're your future. And indeed, this has proven to be true. The great thing is that they like the challenge and they have brought an incredible amount of insight and growth and leadership into the spaces in, you know, in his industry. And it has been really rewarding for all of them and certainly satisfying for me to know that they are all engaging in work that they find meaningful and challenging. So, you know, as I say, one of the upsides for them is that they can truly work anywhere. So, you know, there's no way for me to ever really predict what their next moves are going to be. And they chose Mexico City and they are totally digging it. We were going to go earlier. Let's see. I think we were going to go late May, but then we ended up having to reschedule that. So we are going down the first week of August. And we are excited about that. And then they will come back to Virginia. They have some I don't know how much property they have, but they have property in Virginia, in North Carolina, in South Carolina. And they, like myself, are very interested in real estate. And they like how dimensional it is and how creative it is. And so they will buy something, renovate it, develop it to a certain degree, and then sell it, or they will rent it as a long-term rental, or they will rent it as a short-term rental. as an Airbnb. So they have, I don't know how many properties they have in the Charleston area, but I think three that I know of. And they will stay down there for a bit and keep their house up here, the one that they live in Richmond. I think they're going to sell, I don't know. They have another property in the city. I don't know what their plans are for that. But I applaud their flexibility and their desire to pivot. And I think it's really exciting to see them living in a way, you know, that enhances their experience. And I think that they are examples of their time. And I think it's really great. So we are looking forward to that trip in early August. I'm trying to think, when did they go to Mexico? It was in the spring. But anyway, our daughter, our youngest, completed her first year of grad school. And it is the number one program in that field in the country. And not only did she make straight A's first semester, she made straight A's second semester. So she had straight A's for her first year, you know, which is, you know, we're super proud of that. She had different opportunities for different types of internships through different channels. And, you know, in New York, she wanted to intern in New York City. That was a goal. You know, we were happy to co-sign on that idea. Had she decided to not do an internship, our daughter, who was in that same program when she was in graduate school, she didn't do an internship between her first and second year. It's a two-year program. She traveled to Europe that summer, and then she went out to Colorado for a few weeks that summer as well. We didn't have any preference at that time whether she interned or whether she traveled. You know, it was totally up to her. So we told Ella, you know, whatever you want to do is fine. If you want to intern in New York, you you have opportunities. It's up to you. I interned in New York City when I was a student, and I thought, you know, for me, it was a great way to experience New York in an everyday way, but it also, you know, got that behind me. It wasn't something that was dangling in front of me in going forward in my life, because it taught me that while it was a very, very stimulating environment, it wasn't a place that I saw myself wanting to live day in and day out. That's the same thing that happened with our oldest daughter. And I thought, you know, that might happen with Ella. She has certainly been to New York many times. She's been to a number of big cities and spent time in big cities. I think it's very important to, you know, if you think you want to try something, if you think you want to do something, especially when you're young, try it. Because discovering that, yeah, this is definitely what you want to do is as important as recognizing that, you know, this is good for this time, but it's not something that I see for myself long term. So I told Ella, you know, it's totally up to you. If you decide that you don't want to intern in the city in the summer, girl, I can totally use your assist on Sugar Pines, because she's got an exceptional eye and insight into design and into space. And I knew that I could certainly keep her occupied in terms of work and in terms of creative challenge. But she ended up accepting a fellowship, a junior fellowship with a global company with focus on all kinds of health. And it is a, you know, it's a very established company that has a very structured and rigorous internship program for those that they choose to accept. So, and it's a classic internship. It's an agency with a number of locations around the globe, but the office that she reports to is one of the offices is on Madison Avenue. It's within walking distance of her apartment. And the other one is on Hudson Street down in the Village. It's only one subway, only one train away. She doesn't have to get on two different trains. So she knows, you know, a handful of kids that are, you know, at her school, and they all have different internships, you know, all over the city in different concentrations. And, you know, it's so nice that she has, you know, this infrastructure that already exists for her socially. And her roommate from the program that she, one of her roommates that she lives with, you know, on Monument during the school year is her roommate this summer while she's doing her internship there too. So it's been so great. I mean, some of these internships, you know, are at the UN, Saatchi and Saatchi, you know, some, you know, heavy hitters in the industry, and they hire students from the Brand Center because they, you know, they know, you know, they know how highly regarded they are. So it's really been great to, you know, to have Ella enjoy this experience. It's a full-time internship. It's a 9-week program, 3 days in office, 2 days remote. So one of the days is down on Hudson Street. The other two are on Madison Avenue. And then she can choose which 2 days she wants to have as remote. So I went up with her early June and spent a few days, you know, helping her acclimate to the area and getting her apartment set up. They are subletting from two other guys that were moving to another location. And it's a 2-bedroom apartment. It's got, you know, full-time doorman, you know, rooftop deck. It's a great location. They can, I mean, it's a fantastic location. And we feel good about where she's located and the, you know, the people that are around her. So anyway, that's very, very exciting. So we're going to go up, myself, Zygod's father, and our other two daughters that live here in Richmond, Gracie and Claire. We will go up. I cannot believe the summer is flying as fast as it is, next week on the train. And we'll spend a few days visiting, and then we will come back. And the day after our return, the godfather is fishing out in Montana. I don't know for how long by himself, which is his idea of a dream. And then he will come back, and I'm not sure what else is going on right after that. Hopefully nothing. And then we'll go to Mexico, and then we move into the end of the summer, into the fall, where we've got other things going on, but there's no need to go into it here and now. Anyway, what is happening now? We are in the process of continuing to develop this project over off Rural Point Road that we identify as Sugar Pines. It is a dream, and it's crazy, all of the opportunity that exists on those, on that land. It's a total of 43 acres. The woods in the back, they back up to the Totopotomy Creek, the on the north side of the property, also the creek, and then there's woods on the side, which, you know, the land is so nuanced. There's so many peaks and valleys that if you were to walk the diameter, and the Godfather recently walked the diameter is about a mile, 1.6, 1.65 miles, just to walk the perimeter of the property. But what's great about that is if you walk that perimeter, you're going up and down hills, you're walking through wooded trails, you're walking along water, you're walking along streams, you're walking through pastures, and, you know, and then you end up, you know, making that loop. If you want to make the loop, that's fine. But if you just want to go through the woods and you go up and down the trails, that's a whole different scenario. The original owners back in the mid-70s, the guy, Sonny Hill, was an electrician. And he founded what became and is the number one electric company in the area, Hill Electric, but his passion was horses. And so he raised race horses in the stables that are at the base of the property along the creek that you can't even see them from the road, which is exciting to us because, you know, it's private. So he's got all of these initial trails in those woods that were made for the horses. He also was into cars, and so he built a pole barn to, you know, work on his equipment, to work on cars, and, you know, so there was all kinds of opportunity with that, with the base of that pole barn, which is also down near the north side of the property across from the stables. The stables are such that we don't really know how many stalls we will end up wanting in those stables, but we know that there's space on the end of it to, you know, to build a two-story stable apartment. Because of where they're located on the property, it's considered a floodplain because it's low, it's down near the creek. So back in the 70s, when you were going to build something, you really didn't, you A, didn't necessarily need to apply for permits. And if you did want to apply for permits, they were much easier to get. If we were to apply, if we were to take those two buildings down and want to relocate them somewhere else on the property, it would be very difficult to get permits for both of those things. But because they already exist and the foundations already exist, we are grandfathered and can create anything that we want to create within the framework of the foundation. The pole barn's foundation is, I don't know, I'd guess it's 70 by 40. And the stables foundation is, you know, there's like eight stables, eight stalls that exist, and then a space in between, you know, for a bathroom, a shower, washer and dryer or whatever. And then beyond that is the space for what we will ultimately build as the stable apartment. So because we're not, well, we are essentially building them, but we're not building them from scratch, meaning the, we're not manipulating the foundation. That is going to be, we're going to be doing this project incrementally. We'll do the stables and the pole barn first, and then we will go up and do the house and the adjacent barn. you know, it's, we've been taking these, I've been taking these riding lessons a couple of mornings a week with one of my daughters. And, you know, we have learned so much. The woman that we're taking our lessons from, you know, she is such a good leader. She's so experienced. She has 32 horses, runs this entire operation. It's fascinating. And she is so, literally so faith-filled. She's been one of the most truly faith-filled persons that I've ever known. I've known a lot of people who, they claim to be religious, they go to church, and, you know, that's one thing. That is one thing, you know, but this is a person who, it's just remarkable to me how every move she makes is, as she says, it's really not her. She's just operating. She's just working through, you know, through Jesus. She is a scholar of the Bible like nobody I've ever known. And I find it so interesting how she functions in an everyday way. She's the mother of a friend of one of my daughters who then became my friend, who, you know, through determination and through grit, lives his life, you know, very singularly, very family oriented, and very, very, you know, through hard work and through passion. And so to see his mother function in the way that seems so similar to what I've witnessed in her son is so enlightening to me. So sometimes I'll say things, and I don't know much about the Bible because the religion that I grew up in, they didn't really talk about the Bible. You know, they just, you know, they didn't. I don't know why, but they just didn't. And so Kimmy, I just think everybody should really try to be the best that they can be and also be grateful and also try to be of service. You know, I try to keep it really simple. But, you know, Kimmy, her faith is so powerful, and she just walks, really truly walks the walk. You know, she doesn't just say stuff, and she just really truly lives it. And she'll say something, and then she'll quote, you know, what that is, you know, like, you know, what chapter, she knows it backwards and forwards, chapter and verse, takes no credit for anything, just, that's just how she lives. And I say, Kimmy, I really admire, you know, your knowledge, and I am fascinated with the way you proceed. I think it's great. I think it's such an inspiration, and I admire your strength. And I said, I really don't know anything about the Bible. And she said, I know. You told me you grew up in the Catholic Church. She said, well, that's a religion. That's not a relationship. And I thought, you're damn right, sister. That is a religion. It's not a relationship. And, you know, there was a lot of reasons that I stopped going to that church, even though I never stopped believing. Of course, I believe in God. I do, you know, and I teach my children to be grateful, and I will not argue my beliefs with anybody. I won't prove myself to anybody. I will not. But I just started feeling like it, what I was hearing in that church, you know, did not line up with what I saw as the truth. And I saw so many inconsistencies. I don't care what anybody else wants to say or think or do. Everybody can do what they want. But I did not like witnessing this whole group activity, stand up at the same time, sit at the same time, kneel at the same time, repeat, 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 repeat. And yet the feeling was always never, you know, oh, glad you're here, but, you know, what are you doing here? What more are you doing? What haven't you done? What did you do? What can you be punished for? And I just got sick of it. I got sick of it because I thought it was so inauthentic. And I thought, you know, it just, there was so little for me to connect with. And, you know, I thought I wanted to connect, you know, and I wanted the people that I knew I wanted to believe the things, you know, that I was hearing, you know, about no judgment or about forgiveness or about whatever. And I thought, I don't see that. You know, these people are not living this. I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be part of it, you know, because I don't want to be part of anything that's not authentic. So I have been so grateful for these opportunities to, you know, to witness true faith and true, you know, open-heartedness and true genuineness. You know, I can tell when things are not real. It's obvious, and I don't need to argue that with anybody. Regarding this development of this project, we took a house down. It was 10,700 square feet, right? We don't have to ask anybody, can we do it? If we own the property, we can do whatever we want. And so we did. And we've had to do this a couple of other times when we've developed projects. And you would have really thought that we shook the damn snow globe. Our real estate agent, who's also our buddy, he said, you know, he's gotten 35 to 40 calls to his office asking what we're doing over there. And we're like, who's calling you? Why are they calling you? Why do they care what we do? And the guy that does, you know, the grounds, you know, he's been doing our properties for many years now. And he told his godfather, he said, you know, he's down at the river every week. And he goes, everybody down there is asking, what's going on there? What's going on there? Like, who the hell cares? If you guys liked that house, you know, you could have bought the property. You know, if anybody wants to buy a property and do whatever they want with it, it's their business. It's not my business, you know. So one afternoon we were there. This was after Ella got done with her semester, but before her internship started. So we were over there. The godfather was fishing, and she and I were driving around on, you know, the tracker. We were going up in the trails. And this dude comes out of the woods. He's like, what's going on here? We're like, who are you? How did you get here? And he had come through the property from behind. And so the godfather sees, you know, that this stranger is talking to myself and, you know, our youngest daughter. And he introduces himself and he's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. We live black so-and-so. You know, we've lived there for 28 years. And we're all just wondering, what the hell's going on over here? And we're like all saying, is there going to be a neighborhood? Is there going to be a development? And I was like, listen, you know, if this was going to be a neighborhood or a development, you would have already known, because you would have gotten many certified letters letting you know and giving you an opportunity to meet in meetings to be educated about what was going on. These things don't happen overnight, but no, it's not going to be a development. It's not going to be a neighborhood. It's going to be our family home. And he's like, oh, okay, okay. Then this dude, and this was your fatal error, brother. he starts asking the godfather, not me. Well, you know, a lot of us just like to, you know, we like to go hiking, and we like to, you know, just, there's some trails back here. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, uh-huh. And I said, well, it's private property. And he's like, yeah. We just like to just, you know, come back here and see what's going on and hike. And I said, listen, it's private property. It's private property. And so then he looks, ignores what I'm saying, and says to the godfather, I've got a small ATV. Not that big. Just for trail running. I said, listen, I've said to you twice, this is private property. I am not going to have somebody, I'm not going to have strangers hiking through my backyard. I am not going to have anybody coming into my backyard on an ATV. I said, because guess what happens? Somebody will get hurt. And when that happens, guess who is liable? We are liable because we are owners. I am risk averse to that. My husband is in commercial insurance. My father was the chief of the emergency room. I know that things happen, and I am not opening myself up to risk. So he kept looking at my husband, even though I was giving him the answers. And I was like, no, bitch. The property is prime for anybody that wants to hunt. And I know this because I have a brother that hunts, and he has walked through the property and, you know, totally understood what the potential was. And I gave him permission. He's welcome to hunt there whenever he wants. I gave Kimmy's son permission. I don't care if people that I know want to come over with my permission. I said, look, I've got grandkids. You know, I'm not out here looking to avoid stray bullets. That's not going to happen. So I have no problem establishing boundaries. I think it's very important. And so after he left, you know, I underscored that, you know, with the godfather. And then a couple of days later, I had a meeting with a couple of the project managers on the property. And I told him, I said, you know, we've got a lot of exposure. I need the lines to be very well defined. And I want to have a fence. I want to have it very delineated, very clearly marked. And I had to really talk the godfather into this. You know, he said, I never wanted to have a property with a fence. And I said, I don't want to have a property with a fence either, but we need to keep it really well established, really well identified. It can be a black fence. And I think it's the right thing to do. There's just too many things that could happen, you know, and we need to be careful. And so, hooray, you know, we now have a fence and I feel much more secure. There's people, the house is a quarter mile from the road. And so we've had them put a gate up, a construction gate at the end of the driveway, because one of our daughter's fiance fishes there in the evenings, and he has told us that he has seen people, you know, just drive down the driveway. And no, you can't do that. It's not a park. It is not a park. It is a residential property. It's just not a county park. It's not a state park. You know, I can't have people going up and down the driveway when we're not there. So, you know, I feel much better about that. And the previous owner wanted to keep his horses on our property until he was able to relocate them after we closed. And I said, that's not going to happen. And my husband said, well, it's okay. You know, what's it going to hurt? You know, He can keep his horses there. He doesn't have to move them. We're not going to be building the stables right away. And I said, here's the difference. I said, you know, right now, this was before we closed, right now, he owns the property and his horses are there. And I said, but afterwards, after we close, we're going to own the property and his horses are going to be there. And I'm not going to close on a property with somebody else's animals on it. No, I'm not doing it. Too many things can happen. Now, this guy had said, oh, you know, I'd like to keep my horses here. I'll teach your kids and grandkids how to ride, you know? And then he said he'd like to have an equestrian program. And I said, well, we're not doing that. I said, because I'm not going to have, you know, cars rocking up and down my driveway, you know, while you run a program. There's too much risk there. That's not happening. And he goes, okay, well, I don't have to have an equestrian program, but I'd like to keep my horses here. And, you know, said the same thing about teaching my kids and my grandkids how to ride. And I said, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Because this dude, you know, he's got a second wife with a new baby. The second wife has a child from a first relationship. So she's about 10 years old. And then he's got children from his first marriage. And I'm not going to have you guys rocking up to my property, you managing the horses, and then the kids, like, you know, coming in my backyard, you know, wanting to jump in the pool. That's not happening. There's too much exposure. There's too much risk. I'm not doing it. So it sounds like I'm the hard ass, and maybe I am, you know, but I have been burned too many times by, you know, people that you legitimately think you're helping. And then you realize you were helping them, but they turn around and shit on you. So I don't do that anymore. And so this guy, Don, he's like, well, I'll just keep my horses until blah, 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 right? I'll move them on Monday. And I said, so anyway, the closing was going to be Friday. And I said, you know, I'm not closing with your horses on my property. I said, if you can't move your horses, this was Thursday. I said, if you can't move your horses, if you need more time, we'll be happy to push the closing back. And he goes, oh, no, 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 no. I can move the horses. I can move the horses. I was like, good. Now, he had been telling us that he couldn't move the horses, right? And so my husband had been saying, Katie, you know, he's going to move the horses on Monday. He just needs to get through the weekend and then I'll move the horses. And I said, I'm not going to a closing with his horses on my property, because if he can't get them off before closing, what's going to make him hustle and get them off after closing? I'm not doing that. So I will let him know that we will extend the closing to accommodate that, which of course I knew was bullshit, and it was proven because he said, I'll just move the horses. I was like, great. So we closed. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to think poorly of people. I just am more skeptical after experiences that I have had. And I think that learning is important, and certainly knowledge is power. And I am all about protecting my boundaries. And it doesn't mean that I don't care about others. Of course, I care about others, but I care about myself too. And I care about my husband. And, you know, I'm just not going to put myself in the line of fire. So somebody out there decides, oh, we don't have to pay this back. We don't have to, you know, you know, not accuse you of being criminal. We don't have to talk to you. We don't have to see you. We don't have to unblock you. No, honey bunny, you can do whatever you want, all of you. You can do whatever you want, but we are allowed to protect our borders. So I told the Godfather, you know, this is what we need to do. And so we did it. You know, he put the fence up, even though that went against his nature. He put the fence up. He put the gate up. We got the horses off of the property. So, you know, I said, good, I don't trust that dude. So the next thing you know, a couple of weeks later, after he closes, the Godfather calls me and he says, guess what? And I said, what? And he said, Don called me. And I said, oh yeah? I said, what do you want? Because I knew he wanted something, because I know how certain people operate when it comes to my man. Don't mistake my man's kindness for weakness. Don't do that. You know? Those of you who have done that know who you are, and I know who you are. So he calls my husband, oh, how you doing, Steve? Hope everything's great. How's the kids? How's the family? You know, as though they're long lost buddies. And, you know, my husband's, you know, he's not hanging out with this dude. He's not like interested in a long chat. They're not catching up. They're not buddies. And so, you know, my husband says, okay, well, I'm in the middle of something. I got to go. And he's like, oh, wait. Let me run this by you, you know, before you get off the phone. So, you know, my husband says he's thinking, oh boy, here it comes. And so this dude says, do you ever hard finance anything? And that means, you know, dude wants money for something. And he goes, I have an opportunity to buy a house over on River Road for such and such. And I know that I can turn it into, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's running the figures by my husband. And, you know, when I sell it, then I can return your, you know, at a certain rate, blah, 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 of over 20%. And, you know, my husband's like, ah, no, thanks though. I'm not interested. You know, I wish you well, good luck, you know, bye. Now, you know, it is bizarre to me that the gall that people have that don't even know him. But the people that have known him and turned around and, you know, have done the things that they have done has been remarkable to me. And so it's these people that he doesn't know and that think that they can hit my man up like that. It's like, you're fucking crazy. So we're over at the land one day, and the listing agent who listed the property, we don't know this dude. I mean, we do our real estate transactions up here with one dude who we've always done them with and will continue. Why? Because we trust him. And we would never do a real estate or residential real estate transaction with anybody else. But this dude comes over huffing across the land. Hi, my name is so-and-so. You know, I was the one that did the listing agent, the listing. We're like, yeah. And he's like, oh, you know, here's $1 million. And he gives us this, or he gives my husband this printed $1 million bill. He's like, you know, who doesn't want to make $1 million? You want to make $1 million? I'm like, what? Who? What do you? No. You need to go now. Bye. And he thinks that he's going to have this big, you know, working relationship with us just because, you know, he was the listing agent on the property that we bought. But in the meantime, we know how he operated on that deal because he did not, offer our agent, our buddy, you know, a fair rate of commission, even though he could have. Sure, it was in the terms of the contract by Don, the seller, but that didn't mean that this BJ had to abide by it. Our agent, our buddy Mike, you know, brought him a clean deal, cash deal, no inspection, close in 10 days, no contingency, cleanest deal, because that's how we operate. That's how we operate. And this guy did not bend. And Mike, you know, called him after and he said, that was wrong, dude. You know, you don't do that. It just was wrong. And so, you know, BJ acknowledged it, what Mike said, because of course Mike was right. So we had some other property to sell, the property that we had purchased initially thinking that we were going to build this next deal on that land, but then this 43 acres came up. So we knew that we were going to sell that. So we listed with Mike as we knew that we would. And this dude, BJ, the one that comes up with this funny money, $1 million to my husband, it's like, goodbye. But anyway, this is what he does. He comes to my husband and he said, you know, we have a fair ask on that property. We know what we bought it for. We know what the value is. We, you know, asked a fair price. And this dude comes to my husband and says, I will pay you such and such. You know, I'll pay you such and such, okay, for the property. But, or I will buy the property for such and such. It was like $75,000 over ask, big deal. $75,000 over ask. But I would like for you to give me $75,000 and I will do the renovations on the property and I will give you, I will pay for the property in 2 years. Meaning he wants my husband to give him $75,000 and then he'll buy the house in 2 years. And my husband's like, are you crazy? You want me to accept that those terms? And then I will pay the taxes on the property that I own? I mean, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely not, you know. But that's what these people, they seem to think that these types of scenarios make sense to them. You know, they don't make sense. Who are you talking to? Where are you getting these crazy ideas? Of course, we declined that. Mike, our buddy, obviously declined it on our behalf. And the property has now sold, which we knew that it would. But anyway, all of this to say that we don't really understand why people are so interested in what we're doing, why we're doing it. We don't understand why 30 or 40 people would call our friend who's our agent and want to know what they were doing. We don't understand why our grounds guy, you know, is hearing about it down at the river. We don't understand why people that we don't know want to pitch these ridiculous things as though it's a good idea. Yeah, it's a good idea for them. It's not a good idea for us. It's not a good idea for you to bring your ATV over on our property. That's not a good idea for us. It might be a good idea. It is a good idea for you. It's not a good idea for us. We're not asking you for access. We are not asking you to tell us what your plans are. We're not asking to come camp out in your fucking backyard. We're not asking you to, you know, co-sign on our dreams. It is insane. So I prefer keeping things on the down low. At the same time, I know that a lot of people ask me on a regular basis, what are you working on? You know, how do you do this? How do you come up with these ideas? How do you find these things? You know, and I never have a definitive answer. You know, I say things find me, you know, because they really do. How do I design the things that I design? Well, I imagine myself waking up in a certain area, in a certain location within that area. I imagine myself getting water from the sink. You know, I imagine myself walking down in the morning. I just, you know, these are not conventional paths, but, you know, that's really how I do things. And so sometimes I wonder, because people have asked me for so long, how do I do it? I say, you know, maybe I should document it, you know, like maybe I should show and tell, like do a story from the beginning visually of really how I make my decisions. How do I select certain colors, certain textures, you know, how do I combine things, you know? So I think about that, you know, should I do that? I don't know. Maybe I will. But the other day, you know, because I am older and we all get older, you know, you have to have certain tests in certain increments. And a colonoscopy is one of those very favorite, hashtag I'm joking, barbaric tests that you have to confront every few years. So there I was, the godfather took me, and, you know, the anesthesiologist comes in, he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hi. He's like, what do? You know, when somebody says to me, what do? I really don't like that question, because nobody wants to hear the answer. And I really don't feel like going into what I do. But he was, I don't want to be rude. He was asking me, what do? I said, oh, well, I design things. That's what I do. That's what I said. I design things. I do other things, but that was my answer. And he goes, oh, what do you design? And I said, you know, houses and other things. And he said, well, what other things? And I'm thinking, can we just get this the fuck over with? And I said, well, I don't know, exteriors, interiors. And he said, well, do you work, you know, who do you work for? Do you work with a firm? And I said, no, I don't work with a firm. And he goes, well, who do you work for? And I said, well, I guess I work for the Godfather, you know, but really we work together. So of course that's not an answer. That is my answer, you know. But I know that it doesn't make sense in a conventional way. And he goes, so what do? And I said, well, sometimes we keep them and sometimes we sell them, depending. I said, it just depends. You know, I design other things, but, you know, pretty much that's what I'm doing. That's what I've been doing. And then I just stopped talking, because it was like, nobody cares. It's making me tired. You're not going to do anything with this information. Let's just get it crack-a-lackin'. So the next thing I know, the whole thing is over. And, you know, the Godfather has picked me up. And I'm like, you know, a little bit tired from the anesthesia. And, you know, I was telling him, I said, I don't like it. You know, people ask me things. You know, he was asking me, who the fuck cares? You know, it doesn't matter anyway. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to say when somebody says, what do? And he said, just tell him you design things. I said, I did tell him. That's what I said, you know, and he wanted to know more. And he said, well, just tell him you design things and other shit. And I said, that's what I said. But the dude wants to know more. So we were laughing about that. And so maybe I will, you know, do some sort of story, some sort of visual story about this next undertaking of Sugar Pines, only so I don't have to answer questions. I've done that before in other areas. I know that when I had breast cancer, I did that because it was basically a way of just, you know, depositing my thoughts so I didn't have to have them in my mind. It was a way of just sort of expressing them and then getting them out. And that's really been the story of this memoir. And it's so interesting, you know, how sometimes my voice seems to come so easily and then sometimes it's more challenging. But it's always nice, you know, when it does seem to flow so easily. So I just figure when that's done, it'll be done. Bam, put a pin in it. That's it. But I always have these things come up that I'm needing to pay attention to as my life is moving. So anyway, blah, 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 blah. That's what's going on at this particular juncture. I do hope everybody is well. One thing I don't like, you know, about... I don't mind explaining certain things at certain times if I want to, you know, but I do not like... social media in the way that it is so easy to see in a fucking second when somebody is being inauthentic, when somebody is just being so contrived and so unreal. It makes my stomach literally, if my stomach could gag, that's what I would be doing, gagging in my stomach. So that is why I am sort of hot and cold on that. But anyway, TikTok, I'm going on here. It is getting later in the afternoon, and I would like to sign off and say farewell. Farewell.